Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Beamer Distributors Blog Talk Show. This is your show. It's designed for all Beamer distributors across the country to provide you with the latest information, training, and current events. It's a live, interactive show where we value your participation. Just hit one on your phone and we'll open your line so you can ask questions and share information and testimonials. You'll hear from individuals who are experiencing amazing results in their business and with the use of their Beamer. But remember, this information of Beamer technology is not designed to diagnose, treat, or cure any disease or ailment. These testimonials have not been evaluated or reviewed by the FDA. This call is for education only, and no medical or income claims are intended. This call is not put on by Beamer USA. It's just us, a group of independent Beamer distributors all helping one another. So grab a pen and paper, listen carefully, and get ready to learn and share. Stay tuned. The show is about to begin. Hello, and welcome, everyone, to Beamer Blog Talk Radio. I am Rainey Hale, so you know this has to be Horse Thursday. Today is Thursday, February 3rd, and we've got a really fun show for you guys today. You've got all the ladies on today. Before I say hello to them, I'd like to please remind everyone to please grab a pen and paper. We're almost always going to have a website or an event coming up or something that you're going to want to write down and be ready for that. And please press one on your phone if you have any questions, comments, testimonials. We'd really love to hear from you. As you know, it's a big part of what this show is all about, is hearing from all of you. And just as a reminder, for this show, we do need to really keep it to stories, questions, anything about the horse unit with horses, and really need to stay more to the behavioral and training side of things. So with that said, I'm going to say hello to my co-host and our very special guest. Actually, I'm going to let Cindy introduce her. So I'm going to first say hi to Tiff. Hi, Tiff. Good morning.
Good morning, Blog Talk. Good morning, Rainey. How are you doing today? Cindy, great to be back. I've just been a little busy, so okay. I'm here to not share anything really new, I guess. Just getting prepared for Arizona and that big race that's taking place down there here in the next couple weeks.
Perfect. Well, thanks so much, Jeff. We love having you. And Cindy, good morning. And I'll let you follow that up with introducing our guest.
Absolutely. Sure. Good morning, everybody. And it's a gray day here in Idaho, so we've had some sunshine, and I'm, now we may get some snow. So I am happy to be with all of you.
Welcome
today.
Welcome to the Northwest.
And hope that you'll have some questions for our guests today. I'm really lucky to have talked to Dr. Heather O'Leary, who is a vet from New York. She's also an acupuncturist and a chiropractor and an herbal and nutritional medicine specialist, and she works with horses and dogs. So her veterinary practice is Tessaloo Veterinary Services, and I think that might have a relationship to a Jack Russell, but maybe she'll tell us that. And I've had the pleasure of working with Heather before on some presentations, and just have always been intrigued by her stories. And what I remember her saying before is that she has, that she uses Beamer on all of her clients. And so I asked her not with a specific topic in mind, but I asked her if she would join us today and just share some of her experiences. And then I know that some of you may have questions. So, anyway, with that, Dr. Heather, welcome to Blog Talk. And can you just tell us, how you're using Beamer and some of the horses that you've helped and why you like it?
Wow. Okay, those are a lot of different questions. Why I like it would be simple and short. It works. But I know that we probably want to talk a little more in depth about that. What does it do? One big reason why I like it is because I Beamer pretty much every patient, almost every patient that I see. I'm allowed to call them patients because I'm a doctor. But maybe I should be, since this is an audio recording, maybe I should be a little more careful and say that I beam every horse.
No.
Pretty much that
no,
I work
as a
with.
Doctor, you're allowed to do that even on the show. So feel free.
You've been on the show. Okay, yeah. Fair enough. You'll catch me if I stray. And I like to do the horses. I like to beamer them usually before I even start working with them. And depending on what else is going on, how many times I may have worked with that horse or that client, I might even put the beamer blanket on before I've even touched the horse. It sort of depends on everything that's going on. If I can see that the horse is very agitated, possibly painful, but at least kind of agitated and restless, and I either know them already or maybe I don't, I'll beamer them often before I even kind of do much of anything, because it usually gets them to relax. It's like it's a nice little introduction. You know, horses don't shake hands. And they're used to us as humans, you know, using inappropriate body language, because we just do, because, you know, we're kind of silly that way. So that can be just a good way to say, hi, I'm Dr. Feelgood, and this is what I'm about, and this is how I would like our experience to go today. And if they do know me, it reminds them, oh, right, she's Dr. Feelgood, she's going to help me out. What I also find as a manual therapist, you know, I'm certified in chiropractic, but I use a lot of different modalities and therapies. So I find that it makes my manual therapies a lot easier. I don't have to work as hard. The body is ready for me when I beamer the horse first. Now, I know that some of my colleagues, maybe a lot of people here have listened to the Beamer Equine Educational Experience that Dr. Vonk did with Dr. Shoemaker and I, and I know that Dr. Shoemaker prefers to use her Beamer at the end of a session rather than at the beginning. And sometimes I'll use it both before and after. It really depends.
Well,
I know you asked me a lot of other questions, but I thought that was kind of a mouthful.
Yeah, no, that's really helpful because people always say it's better to do before or after. And I know what I always say is, well, if you do it before, it will make your work easier to get to the part that you're trying to get blood perfusion. And if you do it after, it'll help the horse relax and maybe maintain those effects for a longer time. So, it depends on the circumstance, and that's, it's good for people to understand that, it works whether you do it before or after, just slightly differently. So, when you have, typically when you're starting with a new horse, do you use the blanket in conjunction with the cuffs, or you just start out with the blanket?
People are going to be really frustrated because my answer is always, it depends. It depends. I'll be honest that, it depends sometimes on a little bit of vanity. I see show horses, certainly, but I also see a lot of, beloved pets. I really actually often like working with the horse that is a beloved family member. Most of my clients are really wonderful in having the horse ready for me when I get there. But, I live in New York and there's mud season, and snow season. And sometimes the horse is going to be kind of muddy when I walk up. And I'm going to be honest with you, I'm not going to put my beautiful beamer on a really dirty, muddy horse. So we might wait till the end when the mud dries and we can knock it off. I might also think that some horses don't know how to wear boots. So I'm not going to put a cuff on a horse who is not accustomed to wearing boots or bandages on their legs. If I have a horse who I think has some sort of an injury or problem, then I'm going to want to put that cuff on the horse. So it really does depend on what's going on.
Yeah. And I always, I stick in my bag, but usually the owner would have something like a polo wrap or something to say, if you're coming in out of the pasture and you've got, mud caked up to the knees, let's wrap your horse first with something.
Yes.
Yeah.
A little bit of vanity is okay, right? Protecting the device.
Yeah, absolutely. No kidding. Well, can you share some of your, when you think about, because you have a wide practice and you see a lot of animals, but are some of the examples or stories, if you were, stick out in your mind more than others?
Let's see. I mean, there's a couple of really sort of shocking responses that I've seen, but those are really not compliant, so it's really not good for me to share those. But suffice
okay.
it to say that I have seen horses I have had a few horses that have been in a pretty bad way, and when I have helped restore their blood flow, they have had some pretty miraculous improvements. Working in the realms and the modalities that I do, I kind of don't use the word miraculous or miracle anymore, because I'm a lot more accustomed to seeing really impressive improvements where allopathic doctors might not think that that's possible. And that was certainly
yeah.
even before I started using Beamer, but now, you know, every modality that I add to my toolkit adds to my abilities to see miracles happen. I really think that the miracle of Beamer is in its low intensity and its ease of use. And I know that sounds really, people who are listening, Beamer didn't coach me to say that. I'm actually a terrible Beamer salesperson because I'm off, doing my own thing in my solo practice so much. But really the beauty of Beamer, in the horse world, it so often becomes about more, more, more. Quick, more, 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 get it done, go faster, jump higher, run longer. And the beauty of Beamer is that even with the 5-minute program one, you're going to actually work a tiny miracle every single day in your horse. And their tissues prove that to me, every day when I do a 5-minute program and then I start my manual therapy. I had one day, here's a great example. I had one day where I was seeing, I think 15 or 20 horses that day in the barn. I go there every month, so those horses are all familiar to me, and I'm familiar to them. And it's just chiropractic, and it was still a Beamer was fairly new to me, and I was running around beaming every horse, and I work by myself, so I was playing this little game of leapfrog, to get a horse beamed, and then to have another horse who'd been beamed to get their adjustment, and between the horses that were turned out and in between their rides. I mean, I don't get to do ideal at a barn like this, but the horses all get done every month, and so that's great, right? So I'm running around doing that, and it's going along so smooth. All the adjustments are like butter. I'm patting myself on the back. I'm patting the trainers and the barn owner on the back. I'm patting everybody on the back at how, wonderful we are. And then I get to this one horse, and I'm really struggling with his adjustments. And I'm thinking, gee, Bobby, what's up with you today? Everybody else is so easy, and what's up with you? And all of a sudden I realized he had been turned out, and I had moved the Beamer into the other part of the barn, and he didn't get beamed. And, so people say that maybe I'm, it's a placebo effect on the practitioner, right, that I'm seeing the horse wearing the Beamer, and so I expect them to be easier to adjust, so they are. But there was proof right there that it had nothing to do with my expectation. I had to sit and think about why Bobby was in such a state, and then I realized he hadn't gotten beamed. So
that's a great example. It also shows, your comments when you say you're not a great Beamer salesperson, but the comments that you make about why, the ease of use and the, the low intensities, those are what some of the things that we call our unique selling points, if you will, because they really distinguish us from, any other devices out there that think that they're competitors of ours. And I try and always stress to people, what we have is unique. It is, you can say it's different from this or that, but other product, but what we really are is a unique combination. And so there really isn't a comparison. So we don't,
when we are fortunate to have guests such as Dr. Heather on, you know, we don't coach or say these are things that, you know, please say this or please say that. This is kind of, you know, a live interactive program. And so we appreciate very much, you know, you kind of sharing your insights. And to me, they're very consistent with what we say and what I've experienced. So do we have, I don't know if we have a bunch of people calling in, but Rainey, how are we doing with calls? Do we have anybody
that
might have questions?
It looks like we do have a couple. I just wanted to take a couple minutes and just first appreciate the way you, I really love the way you explain, when you were first talking about that, you explain it kind of as a an introduction. And I use it, I'm a tech in our practice, and we're not a holistic practice, but we do have Beamer, we do have laser, we do have acupuncture, so we do have some of these other, you know, modalities that we, you know, implement into our practice. And I love, of course, love Beamer and use it all the time, and we're a mixed animal practice, so I use it on everything. But I've thought about it that way, but I've never actually used those words. And I really, really like it because I start with Beamer with everything too. And for various reasons, but one of the biggest is that kind of that calm down and they're like, oh, this isn't so bad. Everything else will be fine now. But I just really love that, the term, the introduction, you know, this is my, your way of saying, this is what I'm all about. See, it'll be fine. So I really love that.
Yeah.
So I just
and
wanted
that,
to point that out.
Oh, good. I'm glad you like that. And yes, of course, in the clinic, you know, my office is just a little, you know, living room like building. But in your office, where there's all kinds of things going on, that's really important to distinguish what's happening today versus, you know, they're not getting vaccines today. They're not getting, you know, all the scary stuff. They're getting the feel good stuff today. And animals are, you know, they're smart.
Right.
They know.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've had, you know, patients that will come in, and I have a whole separate room, like with a separate entrance in the back, so they don't have to come in the front door or the scary place. I've had patients that, you know, really hate coming into the clinic, really, really hate it. And, you know, we have to do things to kind of help that. But then they've gotten to the point where after a Beamer session or two, you know, somebody will say, let's go see Rainey, you know, the owner, and they jump right in the car and then they like run right in and lay down. And, so I've had really good experiences with that kind of introduction type, you know, that, so I liked the terminology and I think I'm going to steal it from you.
You're welcome to it.
Point that out. So thank you so much for that. Let's go ahead and get to a couple of these callers that have been waiting for a while. We've got, first, we've got area code 801. Area code 801, you're live on Blog Talk.
Oh, okay. This is Cindy Parkinson from Utah.
Hi, Cindy.
So, hi. Dr. Heather, I loved everything you said. I do have a couple questions because you use the Beamer on intensity one, and that relaxes them and makes him feel good. My question is, for some horses that you go up on the intensity, for a human athlete, for example, they use a higher intensity before competition, and then after competition, they use like an intensity two so that they can get rid of the lactic acid. So I'm wondering if when a horse is going to be competing, should you do a higher intensity before they compete and then lower afterwards? Because I was talking with someone and she said, you know, I would do a higher afterwards to get rid of the lactic acid. So I know, you know, you're seeing patients as a, you know, or horses as a practice and not really before and after competition, but can you address that?
Sure, Cindy, and thanks for the question. So one observation that I've made over the years of being involved with Beamer, there are so many wonderful people involved, and we all have, there's so many different perspectives and different ranges of experience with different breeds and types of horses and different venues, different types of competition or non-competition or medicine. And when topics like this come up around usage, it can often spur a really lively conversation, you know, like when it happens on online, and you know, and I use the word lively, you know, on purpose, and sometimes it does wind up into, my friend's German mother used to say, opinions are like butts, everybody's got one, and most of them stink. So does that start to tell you what I'm going to say about this? And I don't think most of them stink. I feel it's almost like it's the opposite, right? They're all valid, right? So and I said, you're all going to really hate my talk today because I'm going to keep saying it depends. And so Cindy in Utah, it depends. And what you need to do, right, what I would not do is beamer a horse for the first time right before an important competition. The only thing I'm going to say with certainty. I would absolutely not do that because you have no idea how that horse is going to respond, and you have no idea what program level they're going to respond best to. There is no way for us to say with any sort of certainty or precision what program is the one that you should use in a certain situation. And I hope that comes through loud and clear, which kind of means everybody's right and everybody's wrong, right? So you use it, you know, and you make your observations. And what works best on one horse might not work as well on another horse. I will say that when I see Beamer used in performance barns, most of the time I see it used, I'm sort of disappointed, because what I see people do is throw it on and do program three, and then they'll often do two or three back-to-back program threes in a row. They'll just park the horse on the cross ties and do it because, you know, maybe they're used to using some other type of blanket that has similar claims, and that one took a half an hour or an hour, and so they just figure they'll do the same with the Beamer. And, you know, that's just not really best usage.
Yeah, that is a perfect example of how we need, even, you know, whether that a barn is one where they're just a customer, I would say they were never trained properly on the usage.
They can be trained properly, but they have to listen.
Yeah, that's the other half.
You can talk until you're blue in the face, and people will still do whatever they want. Ask me how I know.
I would agree with that. But that's what's, you know, kind of important about us following through with our customers and trying to help guide them to say that's half of the beauty of the Beamers. You don't need to do that. And, certainly what you said is, about don't do a first session on a horse before a competition. That's something that we always recommend for those of you who are still offering, you know, doing sessions or being a vendor at an event. We always recommend that you would do it after the horse has finished their competition. And not before. And it's not because Beamer can hurt the horse. It's because, as Dr. Heather said, in fact, you don't know how that horse is going to respond in these circumstances beforehand, and you don't want that to affect their actual class or their event. So it's just some of that is common sense. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I loved that answer. And I do have two more quick questions. A lot of times we see the cups on the front legs, a lot of times on just the back legs, but in our, you know, presentation it says you can also do them on alternating, say left front and left, right back. What would be the purpose of that?
What would be the purpose? Was that the question?
Yeah, of having, like, is it better rather than putting them on? I mean, obviously, if they have an issue, you're going to put the cuff on that area. But let's say they don't have an issue and you just want to give them a little more intensity. So is it better to put one on, say, the front left leg and one on the back right leg?
So, Cindy, I'm going to throw the question right back at you. You've been listening now for 24 minutes. What do you think I'm going to say?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to
say you were listening. I appreciate that. It depends, right? So put them on two front legs, put them on two back legs, put them on both left legs, put them on opposite legs. You know, maybe you see that a horse has something going on somewhere that you feel like the cuff needs to go there. Maybe you just want to do the cuff on all four legs, you know, buy an extra set of cuffs so you can do all four at once, or do the front legs, then the back legs, or do the back legs and then the front legs. You know, try it out, watch the horse, you know, don't, you know, try to watch your own habits and where your own blind spots are as you get more accustomed to working with horses, if you're not already, and working with this particular device, depending on how long you've had it. Make observations and always question if what you're doing is the right thing. And, you know, why are you making that choice? Is it just because that's how you do it every time? You know, that could be valid. If I do something exactly the same way every time, and I know what to expect, what's normal for me in the way I'm working with a horse, because I do it the same way every time, that's going to maybe point out where the horse is not normal or responding in a surprising way, and it's going to call my attention to it. But on the other hand, perhaps, you know, we certainly don't want to treat horses like cookie cutters. So I think we just always want to think about it. I mean, there are anatomical reasons, including fascial lines, why you might be stimulating both ends of a spiral line that goes from the back left to the right front limb. And maybe if you're making an energetic connection there, that might be something that you'd want to do on purpose. So, you know, I encourage you to keep learning about the horse anatomically as well as energetically, and that's going to inform your decisions.
Thank you very much.
I love that answer.
Was there?
Because I was thinking.
So do I.
You know,
I was just going to say, Cindy, our caller, Cindy. Was there a third thing you wanted to do real quick?
Well, the other thing is just a yes or no. There's a question about the battery. Do you have to let it go all the way down the first time, or does it matter when you charge it? And I know we've addressed this before, but I just want to make sure my customer hears it correctly.
I was gonna let Rainey answer that one because she's the, you know, the usage expert. I don't think there's a problem with I don't think you have to. I think it's another. It depends. You can do whatever you want. You can let it run out or not. I think the battery is a lot more resilient than that.
Yeah, I think there is some general Go ahead. Go ahead, Cindy.
Lithium batteries, which is what's in this, is you know, if you talk to people who are kind of you know, in the know about those kinds of devices, they would say that it's always good to let the battery run down and charge it, fully charged. But
I don't know too many people who do that, and I've had my version 2 for 6 or 7 years, and it's still going strong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've only replaced one battery.
I was just going to say, it's just more, it's not really a Beamer thing. It's really more of a, you know, lithium battery and what are best practices. And I've read a million different things on that. Same thing, you know, a million opinions on that. Seems to be one of the most common things I hear is that the first time you get it, you should charge it all the way, run it out completely, and then charge it all the way back up. Maybe the first time. But the reality is it's really hard to run it completely out after that because you don't want to be without battery with your Beamer.
Well,
unless you're,
you
know,
want to.
So it's. Go ahead, Cindy.
When you get to one green light is when you should recharge it, not wait until it goes down to the orange. So
yeah.
If you're down to one, recharge.
Okay. You guys
Perfect.
Are awesome. I just really appreciate you, Dr. Heather. Fantastic advice. And carry on. I'm sorry I took so much time.
No,
great.
Thank
you so much, Cindy.
Questions.
Yeah, thanks for calling in.
And Cindy, were you going to say anything more about her second question? I kind of interrupted you there a little bit.
No, I was thinking I was, but it probably wasn't that important. So let's try and get in another call.
Perfect. All right. I hope you guys are all seeing a theme that, and, you know, these are questions we get all the time, and we should probably do another, you know, general usage call just because that's the question, no matter what, if you're in the, you know, veterinary field or you're in, you know, any other field, that's the question we get all the time is what should I use for this? And really there is no direct answer. And that's kind of one of my favorite things about Beamer, and also one of the hardest things when you're first starting about Beamer, because you can't, there is no set thing that you do for everything. So I hope you're all recognizing that theme. But
you say, obviously, yeah.
Yeah, no protocol. Yeah.
Yep. All right. We've got Jane on here too. Hi, Jane.
Hi. I'm going to ask a couple questions instead of going to my other story about the two horses on the Beamer.
Oh, yeah, keep that in pocket. We'll do that later.
Yeah. So, Dr. O'Leary, oh, my goodness, certainly one of my most favorites out there. I have
a few questions.
Hi there. Jane McLaren in Lexington, Kentucky. Sorry, I didn't
Jane. We just spoke the other day. Hi, nice to talk to you again.
Good to hear you on this show. I hope it happens more often. I'm actually asking a question that's really searching for advice, and you can answer one or two. I know we don't have a whole lot of time. One, I work with a lot of nonprofits, and many of them have horses out 24/7. Many of them. I'll take that back. Let's not. Anyway, I'm working with a particular one that has many horses out 24/7. And then if there's an issue, there is a barn for them to come into. And I can tell you, usually that's only 3 or 4 out of the 200 horses, which is good. But I have huge resistance to them using the Beamer in their operation. And the main resistance is they say they have no time. They've got 7 people taking care of 200 horses. I figure that's approximately 30 horses a person. Now, not every horse out there needs the Beamer, but situations arise where they could. I wonder if anybody has any advice about working with horses and the Beamer who live outside. That's my first question. My second question is this, and we could go straight to this, cost savings. I am absolutely
sure. I'm sorry,
sure.
What was that?
Cost savings. I'm convinced, and if I'm wrong, tell me. I'm convinced this Beamer in barns of operations of, say, you know, a few numbers, 14 and up or what have you, will, and even the individual owner, will very likely institute cost savings in their yearly cost of management and caring for this horse. Am I wrong on this? Has anybody seen anything like this? I'll give you
I'm going to go ahead and just start answering your question. So the one thing is, we as far as cost, we don't have any studies on that I'm aware of. And you know, Rainey and Dr. Cindy, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but we can't say with any degree of certainty that it will save any individual barn or horse owner money. Is my clinical impression that it will save them money over time? Absolutely, it is my clinical impression that it will save them money over time. I'm a veterinarian. That's my clinical impression. I have a lot of clients who really, you know, love and respect me. Do every one of them buy a Beamer from me or from anybody? No, they do not. So, you know, you can't, you can lead a horse to water, right? But you can't make them drink. But you can start to collect different testimonials. I mean, I know of a local horse trainer, local to me, who got Beamer at a different time through a different thread than I did. He's watched his vet bills go down, and he uses that, you know, he's a performance horse trainer, and he uses that as a selling point. So, to the horse trainers who have Beamers, you know, you can talk to them, and some of them do have hard and fast numbers. Now, you know, that's still not going to be proof for a lot of people, you know, but that's all you can do is, you know, show them the data and support them and be patient and, you know, understand that everybody has to make their own decision. And, you know, and that's the way it is with the nonprofits as well. I've gotten a couple of nonprofits in Beamer blankets in different ways. And for sure, they see that it helps. And also, for sure, labor is usually the number one expense at any horse operation. And so even if we say they're going to do it for 5 minutes a day, but it doesn't, 5 minutes is just the program,
it still takes time to go out there with the blanket, catch the horse, right? You're not going to just go, you know, throwing it over loose horses with, you know, who aren't, don't have a halter, you know, who are just out in a big field together. So you have to do all that. I mean, the whole thing is going to take, let's just say, a minimum of 10 minutes per horse, even if they're only doing a 5-minute program. You know, that adds up. So is it going to be worth it to them? Well, you know, it depends. The nonprofits that I've gotten into Beamer are very pleased with their purchase and still feel like they're getting very good value for their time. They don't Beamer every horse on the property, but when they have a horse that has special needs, they employ Beamer and are very pleased with it. So I don't know what to tell you as far as, you know, how to show it to them, except you just keep showing up, you know, in integrity and helpfulness, and you do whatever you can. You present whatever information is useful, and you meet them where they are, and they'll either buy a Beamer from you or they won't. Yeah.
Can
really
I want to
tag
on? Yeah, I want to add on to that, Dr. Heather, because I think, Jane, what, you know, people can get overwhelmed with saying we've got 200 horses, there's no way we can do it. You say, well, number one, you don't have to do every horse every day. Number two, they could establish a rotation schedule.
Well, my
and
goodness.
To say, let's go down a list and prioritize which horses have some issues.
Yes, I understand that. I understand that. That's been pointed out. Of course, I would never expect them to do 200 horses every day, for God's sake. And even the ones that are in the barn that are accessible.
Yeah.
But please, go ahead, Cindy. I'm sorry to interrupt. But
I think what I would do if in that circumstance, I think with you, is to say, to talk to that barn and say, let's identify two of your horses that you know you do have issues on, and I'm going to come out and I'm going to do for example, if this is convenient, I don't know. I'm just saying, but you could
I've offered to
I'm
do
just
that, and we
lost
about
the other
horse
people
on.
Hearing the
okay, Cindy. So, thank you very much. Thank you, Dr. O'Leary. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Jane. Rainey,
right.
Do you have any
perfect
other questions?
It doesn't look like we have any other callers, but yeah, thanks, Jane. And I just kind of wanted to tag on to that, you know, cost savings a little bit too. That was Jane's question. Obviously we have no studies, but for most of the barns that I've worked with, nonprofits, and I've worked with, you know, performance horses and things like that, and almost all of them will tell you yes. I mean, obviously, you know, we have to say it's not a replacement for any veterinary care, but it can be a great tool to help with that. And we talked with people that are on, you know, we had a couple weeks ago somebody on that she was talking about, you know, she had her horse, they were on the road how many weeks of the year, over half the year, and when she came back she was still sound, and that, you know, a lot of times doesn't happen. So things like that are definitely going to impact the, you know, your yearly costs. So absolutely. So it doesn't look like we do have anybody else that wants to chat with us. So
well there's something that if anybody's still listening, or maybe when they listen to the recording, I mean, I think this actually
absolutely
segues onto a topic that's also important, which is, you know, Beamer and veterinarians. I hear, so I'm a veterinarian. I do not do any allopathic modalities anymore. I work all by myself, and I limit my practice to the modalities that were listed or whatever I've got in my toolkit. But I don't do x-rays and vaccines and teeth and I don't do any of those kinds of things. But I'm still involved in that world. The first 10 years of my life, I was a mobile ambulatory vet, so I do know very much what it's like to be in those shoes, and I'm still very involved in that world with my friends and colleagues. And so I hear from my friends in the vet world a lot of complaints about all of these, and I'm, you know, using air quotes, you can't see me, all of these, you know, lay practitioners who are, you know, selling different products and devices, and, you know, using it, you know, as a replacement. These products and devices are being used, they feel, to divide people from their veterinarian. And that may be fair, it may be not fair, but that is the way a lot of veterinarians see a lot of the what we look at as opportunities out there. And then on the other hand, I listen to the Beamer folks, and people can get really frustrated. Why won't vets listen? Why don't they want to learn, you know, about this great new modality? And, you know, if we're looking at this as a two sides kind of a thing, then both sides have a point. I don't usually think most issues are like a seesaw. I think they're a lot more like a globe with a lot of different positions that one can take. But let's just treat it like it's a, you know, one side, other side kind of a thing. And so as a Beamer distributor, you know, I think it's really important to be aware of the concerns that a veterinarian has, right? There, trust me, there are very few vets out there who want to hurt horses. There definitely are some vets out there whose ethics are maybe a little more fluid than we might prefer in the kinds of things they're willing to do. But I'll leave that said, but then not talk about it anymore. But the vast majority of veterinarians, you know, they do what they do because they love animals. And let me tell you, your horse vet is out there on the road because they love your horse. It is not because it's such an easy job, or, you know, very, very profitable. You know, so they're kind of working their tails off out there, and they might just not have the mental space to think about some of these other modalities. And, you know, I'm working on it from my end. But you can believe I'm not just out there on the discussion groups yelling to people about, you know, using Beamer and using acupuncture. I'm meeting them where they're at, and I'm listening to what their concerns are, and I'm making helpful contributions wherever I can, whether it has to do with a Beamer or any of the other modalities that I use or not. And once I provide value and help them solve problems, then I find that people are a lot more interested in listening to what I have to say. But you've got to build that trust and respect first, and not just kind of walk up to vets and be like, I can't believe you're not interested in this. What's wrong with you? So,
that's really important. That's really important to hear. And I think we always try and emphasize meet people where they're at, but to say what's important to that person and recognize that, you know, they might feel possibly threatened to say, I don't want to add something that's going to take away from my income. If that's where they're coming from, then you can, like you said, build the trust and be able to explain how an adjunctive therapy can enhance and not detract from what they're doing. But we don't, you know, we haven't ever said that on the show that I noted. Really think about from the veterinarian's perspective how they might respond. And remember, we're not in the business as distributors of doing cold calls on veterinarians. These are ones that we meet or have relationships with that we are able to pursue. It's not we're going down the old yellow pages and saying, oh, I have 50 vets and that. So just a reminder in that regard. But thank you for bringing that point up, because I think that's something we haven't discussed, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, so it's important. We all have the same goal. We all want to help. And we might not always agree. I certainly don't always agree with what my colleagues consider, you know, ideal therapies. But I respect that they're doing it out of intent to help.
Good motive, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, and it's becoming a really noisy world out there, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
In many, many ways. Mm-hmm. I think acknowledging that and, you know, trying to find ways to connect. If you have clients, if you have, you know, people whose horses you're giving sessions to or you're working with in some way, you know, find out ways to connect them with their vet, not just like, oh, let me talk to your vet about Beamer, right? Because, again, then that's just trying to sell them something. But, like, ask your vet or call the vet, you know, if you're offering sessions to a horse and the person is, you know, wanting you to come up with some sort of a plan with you, you know, ask to be able to call the vet and ask so that you can ask the vet what they want, right? And give them an opportunity to, you know, to tell you so that you're kind of giving it, yeah, it's a little bit of bending a knee, You know, I'm not asking you to go, you know, lick the bottoms of their boots or anything, but just, you know, reaching out in a really specific way, you know, to show them, hey, I acknowledge that you're a veterinarian and you've got some skills that I don't, and I want to help this horse. You know, how can I help this horse with your care? And I think even just that with a lot of vets would probably go a long way. And maybe give us a friendlier. Right, right, yeah. Right, exactly.
It's
and if the vet isn't interested, then that's fine.
Yeah, it's respectful, too. I like that.
Right, yeah. And, you know, the thing about respect is, you know, it's a give-and-take kind of a thing. If you feel like maybe the vet has disrespected you, then, you know, I'm sorry for that. It definitely happens. Maybe they wanted to disrespect you, or maybe they were just too darn tired and had eaten too many fast food meals the past few weeks, and, you know, their brain wasn't working right. That could be going on, too. Or maybe they're responding to the last distributor of either a Beamer or some other product where they had a really bad experience, and they're not responding to you specifically, right? So you got to understand where they're coming from. And again, the more that we can do to treat each other with kindness and respect, the one that's going to benefit is the horse. And that's really what we want, right? People saving money, okay, whatever, but they're saving money because their horses are healthier and happier. Yes, that's what I'm for, right? I'm not here to save people, you know, or that might be what motivates some people. Okay, I'll work at it from that angle, but, you know, my ulterior motive is always to give horses happier, healthier lives. And I think that's probably everybody on this call, everybody listening to this call, I'm sure you have the same goal.
Yeah, I hope so. I agree. I'm delighted. Thank you for taking time to be able to share your perspective with us. And, make it be a little more interactive, and I'm glad we had some questions to be able to, you know, get different perspectives, and we're going to remind everybody that there are no protocols. It depends on the horse.
Oh, it does. It depends on the horse.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate you taking the time, and I love the way we ended that. As far as I think that's the perfect way to end it, is we just respect each other, and at the bottom line, what we're trying to do is help the horse.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what everybody's trying to do, with greater or lesser degrees of success.
Yeah.
Getting, you know, it can be very frustrating. You know, I understand the way a lot of distributors feel, like they see these wonderful benefits from this wonderful device, and they just want to share it, you know, and then it can get frustrating. Like, why don't you want to listen? And it's like, well, you know, but they don't, and yelling at them about it and telling them that they've got to be dumb to not listen to you, that's just not going to help. You know, whether it's true or not kind of doesn't matter, but it's not going to help. It's not going to get us where we want to go. So, as science progresses, you know, Beamer's wonderful. They're always, you know, doing studies and trying to help us out with the science. But, you know, we also need to remember that every scientific experiment has limitations as well. So just because, you know, you can go on your PubMed and find a study that shows that Beamer does X, Y, Z, doesn't mean that now the veterinarian is going to look at it and say, oh, you know, okay, great, now I see. You know, because there's going to be holes in every study, right? You know, and if they're really feeling defensive, then that's what they're going to do, is point out the holes in it. So, you know, the more science we have, the better it is. But that's also not, you know, nothing. There's no slam dunk, right? It's just the slow and steady.
Yeah.
With Beamer.
No
magic. That's kind of the whole thing.
Yeah.
No magic pill. And, you know, and if the horse still, you know, has an ill-fitting saddle and unbalanced feet and, you know, poor poor dental balance, you know, and is eating, you know, glyphosate, you know, packed feed with, you know, lots of molasses stuck on it, you know, Beamer's going to be a drop in the bucket. You know, there's only so much, you know, Beamer's great, but, like, you know, there's a limit to everything, right?
Part of the package.
So, yeah, it's going to support. It's going to support. But you got to do, you know, the more things you do, the more resilient the body is, and the better they're going to respond to Beamer or whatever therapies you offer them.
Yes, agreed. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time, as we said, and you know, people can you know, benefit from the recording too. So I think this was a really good show, and I hope that you would consider being a guest again at some time in the future.
Sure, anytime. It's my pleasure. I love Beamer, and I love sharing it with people. So any way I can be of service, you just let me know.
Thank you so much.
So.
All right. You're welcome. Well, thank you, everyone.
Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you. You too. Thank you, everyone, all the callers you called in and everyone who listened. We really appreciate you coming on. We are clearly trying to get some fun new guests on every week, so you just never know who we're going to have next week. And we do, Cindy and I will plan another usage, maybe one or two episodes, because it sounds like maybe that's something we want to refresh our course on too, see maybe if we can get Dr. Vonk back on and we can do some more delving into some more usage. So we'll let you know when we're going to do that. But in the meantime, we'll see you all next Thursday. Bye, everyone, and have such a great week. Thank you, Cindy. Thank you, Dr. O'Leary.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everybody. Bye.
Today's show was brought to you by an independent group of Beamer distributors who are committed to helping you find success in your business. We're all part of a bigger mission to bring this amazing technology to a market that so desperately needs it. We'll be back again really soon. Until then, here's to your health.